This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. Your speaker is Vin Lewis, founder and president of All Roads Ministry. This particular tape deals with the subject of relics. This tape is intended both to educate and equip. By this I mean that the information in this production is intended to equip the Catholic better to defend this particular Catholic teaching, and also it is designed to give the Catholic some information for its own sake. This method will, I hope, encourage the Catholic to search the Bible for supports of Catholic positions. In addition, the product should serve how the Catholic can establish an argument for the faith by using biblical verses. The argument is presented in parts, in a progressive manner, and in a set sequence. So the method by which the information is presented should give an illustration of how to do these things. By now, I should mention that this product, as with most ARM products, is presented primarily upon, this is based primarily upon biblical verses understood in the light of right reason. By giving the listener an example of one way to do this, I hope that the listener feels more inclined to do the same for himself. Most attacks and objections on the Catholic faith come from Protestants who say that they honor the Bible. A biblical argument for the use of relics is useful for apologetic and evangelistic purposes. Let me repeat two key points. This tape serves two purposes. The first is to present an argument for the Catholic position on relics. The second purpose is to illustrate an effective manner of constructing an argument in a systematic fashion. I shall start with definitions. I shall then proceed to an Old Testament series of supports. I shall then proceed to the Gospel, and then to the post-Gospel part of the Bible. This will show a continuous identification of the subject with all parts of the Bible. Let me give a definition of a relic. The word relic, in its normal secular usage, means the remainder of something which is gone. In other words, it is something left behind which signifies something else of greater importance. In the religious sense, the definition is almost satisfactory. Let me simply add to it. A relic may still be entire in a religious sense. When I use the word remainder, I mean that it may be part of a larger thing, or it remains when its first purpose is no longer being served. To use a simple secular example, cannons from the United States Civil War no longer actually shoot and are no longer used as weapons. However, they are frequently placed in locations with plaques as memorials. They are secular relics. A relic also includes the fact that it can be used for a good purpose. That is to say, the use of a relic can be beneficial. In other words, the use of relics is a good act and is approved of by God. Let me explain what I do not mean by a relic. I do not refer to items which are specifically set aside for holy use. For example, the Ark of the Covenant was constructed for a very specific purpose. To touch it was to invite death. It worked miracles and brought victory to the chosen people. However, it was not a relic. The Old Testament contains numerous references to things set aside for holy use. They are not what I refer to as relics. These things include holy oil, vessels used by Old Testament priests, etc. I suppose that if the fragments of these things were found, then perhaps the fragments would be relics. But this does not concern us here and now. Again, I am concerned with the Catholic practice of using relics, so this interesting speculation does not concern us. Other key points need to be added I shall do so now. One point which should be made at the very beginning is that a relic is a physical thing. It is not a concept, but some physical object which can be picked up, held, measured, weighed, etc. Another point is that a relic is a particular thing as opposed to a general category. When we say the Bible, we refer to a category of objects, each one of which is as valid as another as a Bible. There is no the Bible. When we say the Bible, we mean an idea which is realized in millions of specific examples. Each version of the Bible is associated with the idea of the Bible. Any Bible is associated with the Bible. Along the same lines, the relic must be associative. By this I mean that it is or has been associated with some particular individual. A chalice is or can be a holy vessel because it may hold the blood of our Lord. However, one chalice is as holy as another as its association is a general type. All of the chalices used in the holy sacrifice of the Mass have the same value as chalices. However, a chalice used by a particular saint becomes a relic of that saint and carries a separate value. Thus, a relic may have a value separate from its status as a relic. In other words, it may have a human as opposed to a holy value. Relics fall into different classes depending on the degree of association with the holy person with which it is associated. The closer the association, the higher the class of the relic. A part of a body of a saint is of higher class than part of his clothing. This production is not concerned with the classes of relics. I am concerned with relics in general, so I ignore this class concept. To examine the issue of relics and to present an apologetic defense, the key issue becomes the correct answer to the following question. Does God approve of the use of relics? A related question is, can this be established from a biblical perspective? Let me make a comment before I examine the implication which follows from the answer to the question. Catholicism and relics are directly associated. Thus, if relics are good, then this is another argument in favor of the true faith. I admit that other religions also use and advocate the use of relics. This is not of relevance to us in this matter. I am concerned with defending and explaining relics. The fact that other religions may agree with the Catholic position on this matter is of no concern. For the sake of simplicity, I shall proceed as if only the Catholic Church advocates relics. To return to the main development, the question is, does God approve of the use of relics? If the answer is yes, God does approve, then the Catholic position is valid, and criticism of the faith on this basis is invalid and in opposition to God. Not only this, but also the issue then becomes the following. If relics are approved of by God, then the true Church of God uses and encourages the use of relics. Thus, the relic issue becomes one which can bridge the gap between apologetics and evangelism. To put it slightly differently, if relics are a God-approved activity, then this proves that any church which has them as part of its teachings may be true. But certainly any church which does not must be a false church. Defending a faith or a part of it is apologetics, while presenting proof of its validity is evangelism. Thus, the relic issue can be used in both modes. As I am still dealing with the working definition of relic, let me point out that definitions involve both similarities and distinctions. Let me now add that a relic is something which is used to do good, but its primary purpose is not to do good. I do not mean that its primary purpose is bad. I simply mean that its primary purpose was not a supernatural, divine, distinct purpose. Its original purpose was normal, routine, human. This means that its holy purpose as a relic is separated from its normal usage. This is not to say that most objects cannot be put to good use. Clothing provides protection for the body and thus does good. This is a natural kind of good, and it is not the kind to which I refer when dealing with relics. Thus, for the good, in terms of a relic, it must be something extra or unusual. The relic does not achieve some normal, everyday type of human good. Another point of distinction and similarity is that it is a good, the good achieved by a relic must not be by the ordinary means of achievement. To explain this, I illustrate. A scalpel in the hands of a skilled surgeon can do a great deal of good, and the good, in the case of a delicate and serious operation, can be extraordinary. However, this is still normal, as this is what the scalpel is supposed to achieve. If a field goal kicker kicked an extraordinary field goal, the unusual aspect would be the skill of the kicker and not the ball's nature. Water can save a life simply by being drunk by a man dying of thirst. This gives no special value to this particular collection of water molecules. Any water would have served, despite the fact that, to the dying man, this particular water was extraordinary. So we must add to the definition of relic that the object achieves or is associated with some extraordinary human good, and that this is some extraordinary means of achievement. What I mean by this is something special. So, a relic is an extraordinary symbol of something larger than itself. Of course, a relic must be some physical object, even if it is only part of a larger whole. By symbol, I mean the normal usage of a word. A relic stands for something beyond itself, and its presence automatically brings to mind this association. Let me offer as an axiom that God can use ordinary physical things to bring about his will. This means that no one can oppose relics on the basis that for God to use physical things is wrong. God used the stones in David's sling to kill Goliath and used the womb of the Blessed Mother to bring about the incarnation. I offer this simply as a fact, but it is an important one, as most non-Catholic religions teach a hatred of creation. Let me start laying the foundation for the argument itself. I take it as axiomatic that the physical aspects of man's existence are good. God created man to be both body and soul, and the incarnation raised humanity to a holy level, a bit less than the angels. Let me also point out that God uses both physical and non-physical means to bring about his will for man. By this I mean the purely spiritual, which might be miraculous, or the ordinary. For example, the normal way for man to obtain food is to grow it or kill an animal. However, our Lord fed a large group of people with a few loaves and fishes. This act was a miracle. The so-called extra food did not come about by ordinary means. Certainly all food comes from God, and even the normal growth of wheat can be considered a miracle if we expand the meaning of the word. I am simply stating that what happens all the time and can be expected to happen again is not a miracle in the normal sense. Sometimes God can combine the ordinary with the extraordinary. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah is fed by ravens. Certainly a bird can carry bread and meat to a human, but to do so is also certainly extraordinary. So a normal thing, birds carrying food, is combined with an extraordinary thing. that they would carry the food to a human. Another example of God using both spiritual and physical is the creation of man from clay and the breath of God. Eve was created from the physical rib of Adam and the creative power of God. All of this is merely foundation for the argument. I simply am anticipating potential objections and establishing a certain factual basis. What the example above illustrates, and we need only one example to establish what is in accord with God's will, is that God can use both physical and non-physical means, sometimes in combination, sometimes alone. Both means are good. Both are used. God is not limited to the physical. If he only used the non-physical, then the physical world would be disapproved of, if only by lack of selection. Thus, one cannot argue that either the physical is not to be used and blessed for holy purposes, or that the physical cannot be used as part of a miraculous activity. To put this differently, God has established forever that the physical may be used with spiritual power in a spiritual context. As I stated before, the key question revolves around the approval or lack of approval of relics by God. Obviously, the answer is that God does approve. Now, the central question becomes the following. How do we know this to be true? Or, to put it differently, how do we prove it? This is where the biblical evidence will be presented. Most of the remainder of this product will consist of this evidence. Let me give a few examples from the Old Testament. The first will involve the staff of Aaron. In Exodus chapter 7 to 8, the staff of Aaron is turned into a snake. This was done to demonstrate the power of God to the Pharaoh. In the same chapter, the staff is used to change the water of Egypt into blood. It is used again to bring about the plague of gnats. Later, Hebrews 9:4, the staff was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant, which was placed inside the Holy of Holies, inside the temple. There was no more holy place under the Old Testament. The key point here is that the physical object, which did not have a primary holy nature nor purpose, was preserved and honored after it had achieved its relic status. I will briefly outline the holy use of the staff which gave it relic status. There were 10 plagues brought upon Egypt. Some of these involved some action of Aaron's staff. Some were brought about by Aaron merely using his apparently empty hands. Some are recorded as being done by God without any human means at all. Later in Numbers chapter 17, Aaron's staff is used to perform a miracle to suppress a rebellion by some Hebrews as they wandered in the desert. So what we have in the situation as noted above is God uses physical objects, humans, and his mere will to bring about his will. All three instrumentalities achieve equally the will of God. Thus, all three are good things. This is a key point. It is logically and rationally impossible to hold that the use of mere objects within a human context must be wrong. Let me continue. The staff of Moses achieves the parting of the Red Sea in chapter 14, Exodus. And in chapter 17, the same staff brings water from a stone. Later in chapter 17, the same staff brings about victory for the chosen people. This event specifically is recorded as follows. When Moses held the staff raised, the battle went well. But when he lowered it, the battle went badly. Of course, it was God who gave the victory. However, another principle is at work here. The will of God is symbolized directly with the activity and status of the object. In Numbers 20, Moses again uses the staff to bring water to the thirsty people. Verse 9 informs us that it had been kept in a place before the Lord. In Joshua chapter 4, the Ark of the Covenant is used to stop the flow of the Jordan River so that the people could cross over. I mentioned before that the Ark is not a relic, as I mean this term in this production. However, the obvious similarity with the parting of the Red Sea is too obvious to be ignored. In Exodus 14, the parting of the Red Sea is achieved by the staff of Moses. In other words, a specifically holy object can have the same effective status as a relic. In Joshua chapter 6, Jericho is destroyed by the combined use of both the Ark of the Covenant and horns. Again, an inherently holy thing is used in conjunction with common things to achieve a divine end. There is no need to give more examples. The divine principle is established at least for the Old Testament. Now I shift to the New Testament to see if the principle continues or if it is replaced by a new principle. Let me present another axiom. If God heals a man, then this is a good holy act, and therefore the means used cannot be evil and must be divinely approved. We notice in the New Testament that our Lord heals by the word, as in Matthew 9:8, from a distance, Matthew 15:28, Luke 7:10, and with a touch, Matthew 20:28, and with mud, John 9:6. Let me comment on this. Miracles are brought about simply by the will of God and by some physical intermediary. It is interesting that mud is used, which is the basic creative material of humans as recorded in Genesis. However, we have an instance of a use of an absolute relic used exactly as we Catholics do and understand. This particular case, which interests us most, is that recorded in Mark 5:25-30, where a woman is healed merely by the touch of the cloak of our Lord. This is quite literally exactly what Catholics consider relics, and the fact that the woman is healed show that this is an approved belief. The woman believes that the relic can bring about good, and it does, even though its primary use is as clothing. This is, without qualification, a divinely biblical approval of the use of relics. The last question becomes this. Is this a practice which we are to follow? In other words, sometimes a practice done by our Lord is, as argued by non-Catholics, to be done only by our Lord and not by us. In other words, is this use of relics a divine-only prerogative? The last issue induces us to consult the Act of the Apostles, which shows some of the holy apostolic practices, which of course must be right and approved. Acts 19:12 records that if a handkerchief were touched to St. Paul, and then touched to the sick and possessed, they were healed and exorcised. This is an unmistakable, undeniable example of the earliest church following the precise Catholic practice of using relics. As a type of postscript to this proposition, let us now ask the following question. What would the early Christians do with the handkerchiefs of St. Paul and the clothing of our Lord? Would they throw them away? Or would they follow the example of the Old Testament chosen people in that they would preserve in an honored place these things? As this issue, the God-ordained and sanctified use of holy things to bring about holiness was in effect in the Old Testament and carried into the New Testament and carried into the church, we can only conclude that we must follow the same practice, that is, of preservation and honor. Let me summarize what has been established. The physical may be used to bring about holy results. The physical means used by God to achieve this may be extraordinary or ordinary. Sometimes it is perfectly and completely in accord with God's will that items and objects be used in such a way, be set aside, identified, preserved, and treated with special honor and veneration. This principle is found in both the Old Testament and New Testament. A brief examination of the life of our Lord as recorded in the Gospels shows him using what we would call relics for good purposes. The Acts of the Apostles, the post-Gospel Bible, confirms that this practice continued into the days of the early church. In other words, unless we are to deny the words of Scripture itself, namely 2 Timothy 3:16, which informs us that all Scripture is there for us to learn from, we must conclude that the valid use and preservation, of relics is a proper Christian practice, validated not only by the dogma of the one true church, but also numerous biblical supports. At this time, I would simply repeat some of the scripture references if you wish to look them up. Example of our Lord healing by use of another object, namely mud. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. The example of a woman being healed merely by touching the cloak of our Lord. Mark 5, 25 to 30. The example in the Acts of the Apostles of handkerchiefs being used to heal. Acts 19, 12. The examples of the use of the staff of Aaron are in the Old Testament, and the staff of Moses, of course, are also in the Old Testament, primarily in the books of Exodus and Numbers. This ends the formal part of the presentation and the audio tape. Cross-references, by which I mean other products from ARM which would assist you in further implementing apologetics or evangelism by use of this product, or to further ground yourself in your skills, would be, among other things, audio tapes on the law of logic, audio tapes on transition, which presents a program by which you may go from an apologetic effort to evangelism, and possibly to refute biblical aspects which may be used to attack Catholic principles, the Protestant view of Scripture and Sola Scriptura. Also, the general tape apologetics, which is in the P as in Paul section, and on the other side is the tape knowledge. In essence, what we have tried to present is a systematic, progressive argument justifying and validating the use of relics from a Catholic point of view, which may be used for both apologetics and evangelism. I thank you for listening. I thank you for obtaining the tape. Hope it's been of value and benefit to you. God bless. Additional copies of this tape may be obtained by contacting us at ARM55 Palen, that's P as in Paul, A-L-E-N, Road, number 38, Hope Well Junction, New York, 12533.